How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers! We are back, baby. We are back after the long weekend, the long Thanksgiving weekend. I hope every one of our listeners had a great weekend as well. And it started off with a great 23-20 victory over the Chicago Bears. Again, the Lions dominated for a half and hung on in the second half by a thread, thanks to the wonderful game management of the now-fired Matt Eberflus. We'll get into all that in a moment, but before we do, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. We got the whole crew. So we got a Big Z, and then let's get to the rest. We got Bob.
Hello, everybody.
UJ.
Greetings, Lion fans.
And Rut Dog.
Yo!
And of course, we have our producer, Kid J, off the side. He might be interjecting every once in a while. But now, gentlemen, 23-20. I want to just start with the end because it kind of highlighted this game. I just want to say that on Thanksgiving, I was thankful for Matt Eberflus and the Bears' game management skills. Because, this game was trending, unfortunately, in the wrong direction. The Lions are throwing out whatever body they can find on the sideline. I think they're ready to go in the stands and grab somebody to put on shoulder pads. The way players are falling off the field by the end of this game. We can go down the injury list in a second, but just a remarkable ending. You have 30 seconds to get a play on, and they get one off, and then they throw it deep. After, like, it's a late snap, they could have, like, still got, like, a short pass or something. Still managed to get one more play. No, they throw it deep. Everything about that last play was wrong. Bob, I don't throw it over to you first. What was going through your head, like, when you saw that?
Yeah, well, that was awesome. I was kind of not paying attention to the clock because I thought they had plenty of time to get multiple plays off. So when it was actually, so like, as the play was going off, I'm like, oh shit, that's it. And I think a lot of the players felt the same way. But yeah, even if they had, I didn't think they were getting a touchdown there. Even if they'd thrown it overtime, I don't know if the Bears win, but it was so funny to watch the dysfunction on the Bears, and Lions got to put the dagger into Eberflus. So yeah, it's funny.
In a way, I think Bears fans are happy with how the game ended because
yeah,
they were going to win them out. But UJ, your thoughts?
Yeah, me too. With that ending, as I'm watching the game, I'm thinking, you know, first I'm kind of dejected, kind of down because all the momentum was against us. They were. You know, they were driving down the field and looking to tie or take the lead. You know, just we had no momentum at the time. And then I'm watching that last play, and I'm just watching and watching. What are they doing here? They got a timeout, right? I'm checking the timeout on the screen. Yeah, they have timeout. Yeah. What the heck are they doing? It just took forever. It was so mind-boggling. I couldn't even believe what I was watching. And then after the play's over, they look up and the time has run out, and Caleb Williams looked confused. Everyone just looked confused and dumbfounded. It was the weirdest ending. I'm grateful for the ending. I'm glad we won.
Yeah. And Red Dog, we can't forget what led to that ending is Za'Darius Smith just completely jumping off the ball right at the snap. Huge. The offensive line wasn't even out of his stance by the time he got off the ball. And that sack caused a lot of confusion. But your thoughts there too on the ending?
Oh, I mean, like, I'm kind of with Bob. Like, I that's just kind of like, oh, so this is how it's gonna look, huh? was my kind of reaction as it went down. I fully expected we were going to win that game. And, you know, I didn't expect it to look like that, but, you know, it is what it is. We won the game. I'd say the injuries kind of hang a little longer after this game in your mind, but at the same time, it's like we still win games, and that's just what this team does. So I fully expect them to, you know, just keep growing and go on to the next one. And just like the machine they are, man, they took care of business this week. And as ugly as it got at times, it didn't matter. We took the dub.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, that there's been a lot of conversation about that ending, but let's get some more aspects of the game. Let's get to the first half first. Lions go up 16-0 in a halftime. Come on, guns blaze. I mean, between the 20s, the Lions are excellent. They just could not finish the drive for the most part, settling for several field goals. There were three or four field goals. Jake Bates, he missed his first field goal this year. It finally happened. If people out there thought he was prone from missing it, well, nope, he is human after all. Apparently, he did miss one, but we picked him up. We won the game. But anyways, any concerns from you guys just about how the Lions here getting in the red zone and not finishing, or just that's the way it is? Bears are number one in the red zone defense in the NFL, surprisingly, because they're actually one of the worst between the 20s. But they clamped down. They clamped down.
Yeah, well, I heard on the sideline, Jake Bates was singing to himself, "I'm only human after all. I'm only..." And then, you know, and the guys were kind of getting into it a little bit, but I'll tell you one thing a little bit about this is going to sound weird to you guys. I know it will, but in that first half, that play they tried to run with the pitch to Sewell, who's going to do a tackle pass or whatever. Not a halfback pass, a tackle pass. Well,
that was great.
It was really great, and it was funny, and the fans loved it and all that stuff. But to me, just slightly, it smacked of arrogance a bit. Like, it was early in the game, and I think Ben Johnson might be just a little, I don't know. It the timing of it seemed suspicious to me a little bit.
I loved it. Yeah, I
love the play. I love the play. Don't get me wrong.
The crowd cheered a -4 gain.
They did. They did. But I don't know.
Arrogance, you say, UJ.
I like it. I like the arrogance.
I thought it's just a coach that's continuing to be super creative. It's a short week. You know, you start off the game. It's a fun. I don't know. I like it. It's worth the shot.
Yeah, I love everything.
They clearly told them, like, if that it's not open, just don't throw it. So, okay.
Are you just suggesting that it pissed off the Bears? Is that what you're saying? Or, like, what I'm not sure what you're saying.
I mean,
saying
if I all I know is if I was playing on the Bears, that would have pissed me off. I'm just saying. And how would you have felt if you were the Bears and they did that early in the game too?
I would have said, "Great, we just got a -4 yard loss on that play." So you do, you Lions.
See, we are switching positions on this podcast now. I love it. Yeah. This is really cool. Z, Mister Optimistic, Mister Blue Kool Aid, pouring from his veins. I love it.
I'm just saying what I think they're thinking.
You think there's like sort of like a spit in your face, like insulting nature to Ben Johnson's play calling? Is that what you're saying?
I just felt, I'm not saying like overwhelming is that what, feeling of that. I just said it was
disrespectful.
Just, felt, and not, first, my first thought was that was awesome. And then a second thought right after that was it just seemed a little arrogant to me. And it was early in the game. And it was one thing to be in the second half later on. It would have been more suitable, I think. I think it just kind of fed the other team.
A little bit. I don't know.
I think the fumble by Gibbs was the biggest thing.
It's what I felt at the time, and I'm just saying it. So there you go.
UJ's insulted by Ben Johnson's play call.
The only time there's been like a kind of thrown in their face play call was the end of the Cowboys game where they're just throwing the lineman like and lining the landscaper wide and all that stuff.
That was completely justified, and we know that. That was a revenge game, 100%.
So you're saying it was poor taste by Ben Johnson?
What are you saying here, UJ?
Hey,
let me just address this since we're here, because I wasn't going to address this. There's a point in the season, and this is getting to that point in the season. A lot of it's because of the injuries, and there could be a little level of cockiness that sets in and stuff. And I'm going to throw on top of this the Gibbs TikTok video or whatever, where he's standing in front of the chalkboard with all the plays like on that. And stuff. I mean, this is the kind of stuff, like little things like that, that like no, this is not. No, come on, guys, keep it together. You know, let's...
you're assuming Dan didn't set that up.
Look, I mean, I might be overreacting to all this stuff. Okay,
wouldn't it be a true? Wouldn't it be a true masterclass to set that up to just make them work extra? Like, oh, like, let's read these all. Let's decipher them.
Well, that was my next thought, Z. I was thinking, what if he did that on purpose? Yeah, and put up all this.
And then he gets all like he gets all like touching his face when they ask him about it. Like he's like, "Oh, I didn't hear about that." Like, oh man. Like,
well, that would be a masterclass.
I didn't really understand the photo and the purpose of it, but like
yeah, actually yeah, the weird like pointlessness beyond... of the photo is even more suspicious.
Yeah, because it's just a photo, right? It wasn't a video or anything, right?
Or is Gibbs just trying to stack up dumb like things? Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyways.
Hey, but see, your question about the first half, though, to me, it reminded me of watching an NHL game. You know, like, well, I'm a Blackhawks fan, and, like, when they were in the playoff run, you get one of those games where you're just out shooting the hell out of them, but you're still, like, 0-0, or you're losing 1-0 on some cheap-ass goal, you know, like, and because the Lions were well outplaying the Bears, I think. For that first half.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah,
for sure. For sure.
Before the injuries started.
Especially defensively.
Yeah. And but we should have had a huge lead. And and I know the Bears, they do have a decent defense and all, but I think it was like little errors on the Lions' part that kept us from getting it. Just detailed stuff that they always talk about.
Yeah.
But yeah. I still thought they'd win, and, but it was frustrating to watch that it was that close when they should have been.
Yeah, right. And a killer fumble by Gibbs.
Yeah, that's the biggest one.
Yeah,
that just cannot happen. Cannot happen.
Don't you just love that our big killer mistake just means the other team gets to be in the game near the end? Like, and now, like, instead of like, oh man, like we blew the game on a Gibbs fumble. It's like, nah, like we almost will forget about that probably in the next couple of weeks as we just remember winning the game. Like, it kept them in it though.
Yeah.
So
Gibbs did look electric in that game, man. Otherwise, other than that fumble, that was one of his best games yet. He is so damn good.
But he didn't run much in the second half, which might be part of the reason we were.
Oh, did anyone else notice his shoes though? It, like the red spikes to make him look the Sonic look. It looks so good.
Yeah. They both had them. They really dug into that this week with the promos and everything.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, like, fun. They live up to it, man. They both put up like 80 yards, him and Monty this week.
Yep. On 88 on 21 carries for Monty. He looked great in this game. And then Jameer,
no touchdowns,
9 for 87. No touchdowns for either, though, yes. Laporta took them both away. Laporta only had 6 yards, but 2 touchdowns, which is nice to see, at least.
That's why, like, I don't care about the Jake Bates missed field goal either, because it's like, this is the team that doesn't care about streaks. It doesn't care about the streaks. We break a new one every week and start a new one. You know, like now he'll start his next one. I'm not worried about Bates. Like that was, you know, no sign of alarm there. I'm just saying, but I think
he's way better than Justin Tucker. Way better. Who keeps missing field goals?
Yeah, that's Justin remarkable. I mean, not career wise, Bates yet, but. Justin Tucker this year, yes.
What is he like, man?
He's arguably the worst kicker in the NFL this year.
Is he still? Seriously. Where is he with now?
The Ravens,
Baltimore.
Still with Baltimore?
Team he's always been with. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, so but now he's sucking. Nice.
Yeah, Bob. Remember the second baseman who couldn't throw to first anymore? Who's that?
Oh yeah.
That's a bad one.
There were a couple of guys like that, but
yeah, there's a couple.
Tucker's got the yips. That way right he's got
now.
The yips.
He's got the yips right now, pretty bad.
Like Simone Biles.
Anyway,
he got the yips.
Did she win the gold?
She had the twisties.
Yeah. Oh well, it's very similar. Basically, the gymnastic version of the yips.
Okay, enough about the yips.
Yeah.
So in the second half, it all starts getting a little bit too close for comfort. The Lions' offense stalls in the second half. Mm-hmm. They what do they? They go Okay, so they go touchdown to start, but then it goes punt, missed field goal, punt, and then the end of the game. The Bears had a bunch of long drives.
Luckily, you have Jack Fox who pins you at the one.
Yes, and wow, did the Lions really?
Who has a hypersense?
Yes, Khalil Dorsey really played with fire with his back of his foot on the goal line. These players, like, just
I thought he blew that
down
for a second.
Oh my gosh! Do you? They have to work on stopping the ball inside the five, right? A lot. Like, I'm not just talking about the Lions. All these players in the NFL just do a lot of dumb things when they're in that position.
I mean, you could argue that he did it to perfection.
Well, he did. I mean, it worked. I think he got lucky.
He just didn't need to play it that close. Like, he could have stopped that at, like, the one safely.
Right, exactly. But yes.
But hey, it was perfect.
Yeah, big one for Jack Fox. Eric just continues to be low key, like, the best punter in the NFL, or one of the best three, if not.
Stud.
Yeah.
But, and the line, and just the line special teams as a whole. I mean, besides the missed field goal, but it's still an elite unit in the NFL, like every one of our units. But the Bears get close, but no cigar, especially Keenan Allen down the at the end there. But the
old men started shaking us down over there.
Yeah, so Lions injuries. Let's start with the killer one here. Rodrigo, out for the year, torn ACL. Our entire starting linebacker core is now out, and Anzalone will be back at least at some point.
Jack Campbell.
He didn't start the year though at the as a starter.
Everyone by Campbell's.
Yes, but Campbell. Yes, yeah. Campbell. Yeah, obviously is still there. But I was talking about Anzalone, Barnes, and Rodrigo. Well, I guess Rodrigo didn't start. Never mind. Yeah, you're right. All right. So either way, but Rodrigo out now. We are really depleted linebacker. The Lions signed Quan Alexander off the Broncos practice squad, who was formerly a really good all pro linebacker. He is he's hovering on the practice squad, so he's not quite up to what he used to be, but hopefully he can at least be decent. I don't know much about him in his current state. Rodrigo, just a killer. He was playing great in this game too. He had nice coverage down the sideline on the one pass against Swift. He was looking better and better every week, and it's really painful to see a guy go down like that.
Yeah,
this feels like we're in like an Expendables movie now, though. Like, you're wrangling up all like the old gang. You got like this old safety Jamal Adams coming in. You got these like guys, like they're all just like the nobodies. Like, we're gonna keep this thing going, boys.
and we had already brought that long in, and he's played a ton since they got him.
He played well though. Yeah,
yeah,
played well.
Yeah, I mean, that was a really good signing, actually. And that's one of the nice things about being in this position, the Lions are in. They could probably get any of the top remaining, you know, free agents out there or whatnot that are just waiting to come on the roster for
safety.
A playoff run.
Yeah.
I mean, practice squad poaching.
Well, yeah. It is a playoff run now. You know, these guys get a shot. They're going to give you their best shot, too, when they come here. So, you know.
I love the way Dan talks about it, too. He talks about how like they're going to look at each guy's ability and, you know, get, you know, best assessment of what they're capable of and just put them out there in ways where they're capable of just cutting it loose and playing fast and playing fire free football and like not thinking too much. I feel like that's part of why Aaron Glenn's so good at what he does, is because he just gives these guys limited designated roles that they just have to execute to the best of their ability that's meant for their skill set, and then just ask them to do it as good as they can, fast and violently, and that's why this defense is so formidable.
And some of these guys that Brad's bringing in, he knows what they were playing before, and so some of these guys are playing similar defenses, so it's easier to get up to speed when you already know what the hell they're doing. So
that Muhammad kid actually was pretty impressive in this last game. He looked he looks good. Like, he's got some serious potential.
Yeah, how good is that Za'Darius Smith signing now, though? Holy cow, man.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a necessity at this point.
He's playing very well.
I know. And then there's always a couple times a game where he, like, slow to get up, and you're like...
Yeah, he was cramping bad at the end of this game. He fought through it, but he was cramping really bad.
Yeah, he
struggled, but he kept fighting.
Well, the good news is, Anzarike was knocked out of the game. Pascal's knocked out of the game, but... Campbell says they're both not long-term things. So.
Yeah, but for this week, they're probably out, both of them.
Yes.
So that's a killer.
However, long-term, when we're talking a playoff run, though, these guys are going to be essential. So
we're just waking a fall on this defense.
At least that's the good part of it.
Well, the Lions got no help today because the Eagles won on the road in Baltimore. The first time Lamar Jackson's ever lost to an NFC team. What? Anyways, but Lamar Jackson... Lamar Jackson lost to an NFC team for the first time ever in his career.
Second time.
Oh, I thought he was undefeated. Oh. So second. Either way, super rare loss for him, of course. So no help there. And then the Vikings come back in the last minute in a game they looked awful for 95% of it, and they win 23-22 against the Cardinals. So no help there either.
Nope. Hey, can I talk about one thing with the Bears game still?
We're still talking about it.
One thing I liked, and as we're going to be seeing Caleb Williams for a lot of years, I think he's actually going to be a decent player. He had a good second half and everything. But,
definitely.
But it was fun watching the Lions get a ton of hits on him. And
oh, man.
He'd make a pass sometime, but he would pay for it, man. Mm-hmm. He would get laid out. That pick, that one with Campbell on the sideline where he upset all the Bears, but I don't think he was aiming for the knee, but he was like, hit him right as he's, you know, he gave him a little something because he was still in bounds.
Yeah, so, he stopped.
It was a clean hit.
I wasn't saying it's dirty. I'm just saying they didn't like it. But
But
no, it was nice that their Lions are hitting him hard. So he'll think about that in the future. Heck, I guess.
Yeah. If you want to see a dirty hit, look up what happened to Trevor Lawrence today in the Jaguars game against the Texans. That's a dirty hit. People want to see the difference.
Kid Jay knows Kirby Joseph's clean. You know, as a Rams fan, you know.
He is clean.
I know.
Clean.
Of course.
Well, another killer too. The Lions are obviously hurting on the D line right now. Mekhi Wingo looks like he is out for the year. Promising rookie rotational D tackle. It just sucks because he's been improving throughout the year. He's finally getting some reps out there. We're excited to see him. And yeah, knee injury for him. He's out.
You could just field our injury list right now, and you'd have one of the best defenses in the league. It's brutal.
Yeah,
it's remarkable. I mean, they're really testing the coaching and the development here.
You know what this is, you guys? This is the hero's journey. It's the hardest part, right? When you're about to, you know, take down the final villain and all that. Yet the hero always gets just absolutely decimated. Hands get cut off, and you know. You hit your low points, you get beat up, but you just keep going. That's, you know, that's why this team is paying the price now. They're going to find a way. This team is inevitable.
Yeah, I like Campbell's response to it, though, when they asked him about the injuries. You know, is it going to hurt? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Feel sorry for us. Does anybody feel sorry for us? No.
Nope.
We got guys here. We got more depth here. The next guy will come up, they'll be fine. But I mean, his attitude about it was perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Also, good luck getting an asterisk to our win this time, man. Like, what? You mean when we had no defense left starters at the Super Bowl? You can't.
Like the one you gave the Chiefs last year?
I never gave any asterisks.
Ooh.
Pretty sure.
Anyways.
You must be thinking of someone else, Bob.
The other Rud Dog on the podcast.
Yeah.
I don't give asterisks.
It's the Smeagol and Gollum.
All I do is wish to face teams at their strongest. If you count that as an asterisk, then
I'll tell you one guy that really impressed me and really stepped up in this game for the Lions. Been waiting to show up in the pass rush for a while here, but DJ Reader, big game out of him. Got the game, only game ball in locker room after the game. But we really need him to step up in the pass rush. And it wasn't like anything fancy. He just got a couple one-on-ones and absolutely just bull rushed this guy into the backfield because he's a massive beast. Human being. And it's been great with all the injuries on our D-line, it's amazing he is not one of those, knock on wood, because he has a long injury history. So to have him to be out there healthy for this long through the season has been a huge boon. And again, like the run game was non-existent.
Him and Aleem are like the fulcrum point, or like they're the point at which this defense turns. Like you had your super foursome with Pascal and Levi, but now it's really those two are like the only ones really left. And thank God for Zadarius Smith in this case, because I think he's about on that level too. So three guys left to hold up. You know that. Did you notice they actually went to a full-on 3-4 defense at one point? Because Pascal and Levi went down, I was like, God, this whole defense is changing like freaking water, and that's why Glenn's so great. But I mean,
yeah, he is great. They're adapting well, and these guys, you know, these second string, third string guys, they're playing their asses off, you know. So, and I think they're putting them in a pretty good position to succeed. It's hurting our pass rush a bit, but like you said, Bob, they're at least dealing out punishment on these rushes if they're not getting to them. Right?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I don't know. They're still working their ass off. And
oh, absolutely. I'm actually curious to see what these new guys they've brought in. I wouldn't be surprised if we get them on the field pretty quickly. See what they're capable of.
Yeah, El-Kadeen Muhammad is a veteran in the league. He's been around. He was on the Colts for a long time, then the Bears, and then didn't play last year.
Yeah.
And then Lions signed him to the practice squad, gets elevated, and here he is, being a key contributor. So. He's actually listed as a linebacker. He's only 6'3", 250. He's on a little lighter side for when the Lions typically use for the edge, but they're running out of
speed,
options,
though.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
His length is nice. Like, he looks like he's got long arms, too.
I don't think since we podcasted, too, that we mentioned James Houston got cut from the Lions.
He did.
Yeah.
But he is no longer.
See, it's a good thing we had him more reps.
As we foretold that would happen
foretold.
Eventually.
I mean, the way his stats are going and stuff, yeah. you could see they gave him as much of a run as they possibly could this season. I think more than they actually wanted to, just because of injuries. But
yeah, well, I think it's the injuries are the reason he's gone, partly because
there was
one everything.
Good injury news item that it looks like Mosley might be coming back.
Yeah, for Thursday, no less, for the Packers. So.
Man.
Yeah.
So that'd be nice.
If you get him and Terry on, or was Carlton coming back soon? Do we know anything about his
status?
Well,
he's iffy.
No, he's iffy. What's not?
They said they're not sure he's going to be back this week. So we'll see.
Well, if we have Terry on and Emmanuel Mosley, that with Robertson, at least that's like a decent three. You don't have to go to Vildor constantly. Or Dorsey, I don't know about yet, but I haven't seen it. He doesn't. What did you guys think of Dorsey's performance in this last game? I didn't really notice him get beat too bad.
Nope. Again, like, Vildor really. Was the one that the offense kept attacking. And God almighty. I don't know how many times every week we have to watch him get like thrown at 10 times and give up big plays. It's you know, he's on an island. Maybe not playing. I mean, definitely not playing as much as Lions want him to. But,
I got it.
I don't know. Give someone else a chance. This is what I'm thinking. Because again,
personally, I have respect for Vildor, man. Because he got thrown in like a tough situation where he has to go up against all this shit. Because
he's a professional. He's got to step up. Like, I don't really feel.
I'm not saying I want him out there, but you know, since he is out there, I think he plays hard.
Yeah, he's a battler.
It sounds like the Jerry Jacobs conversation.
He is like our fourth string cornerback.
Constantly got beat.
Exactly.
But, you know, he's trying his hardest.
We wouldn't mind, like, that's, yeah, he is, but I mean, he's better than Jerry Jacobs, at least, a little bit.
Yeah, he doesn't make no plays, but he does get beat. I don't know.
I mean, it's hard to cover the receivers in this league, and Glenn asks more of our cornerbacks than, like, anybody, so, you know, I agree with you, Bob. They put him in tough spots, and they're okay with the way he battles. It's, you know, it's not ideal. You want Terry
and
Carlton out there.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he's going anywhere, but
he should be like your third or fourth stringer, though. But
I'm just saying he's not the problem. I mean, no. The problem are injuries, you know, that they have to play him that much. But,
right.
You know,
if you guys noticed, though, even Branch got torched in this game for a cutty.
He did.
Absolutely, literally torched on the play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they got good receivers.
It happens to the best of them.
And he also laid out Caleb in this game. Branch
yes,
did.
Oh, Branch. Yeah, defense, man, they just keep transforming and adapting. I mean, I know they gave up a few scores in that game, but like they never gave up the lead.
Like, yeah, I think the Lions are about to get real clever with some of their blitz packages going forward. Kind of like what we saw at the end of last year, actually, because of injuries. I mean, good. It was a good win, though. A couple other things to mention from this game, too. J-Mo looked great. Had a lot of fun out there. Dumb penalty.
Yeah, dumb penalty. Yeah,
very dumb.
You know, it looked like Stevenson might have tripped him or even knocked him over a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, you just can't do that. And then do you see Antoine Randall yelling at him on the sideline? Like, he's like,
oh, yeah.
Like the dad face screen was like, oh, don't you dare. And I don't want to hear it anymore.
Yeah, I think the guy said to J-Mo, get your bitch ass up or something like that. Which but he still can't fall for that stuff, you know.
I love J-Mo. Like, honestly, like, some of the hate he gets for like some of this, like, I'll give it, it's immaturity, no doubt. Like, that's something you shouldn't really do, but like, his fire and his fight is great. I'd rather have to have him, you know, tamed a little bit than to have to like try to, you know, get it out of him. This dude's a fighter, he's a warrior out there, and I think, you know, he'll learn, he'll grow. It's like, you know, that's, he already apologized, like, he unprompted to the team. So like, it's like, anything, like, I just love that. I love the player. I love his personality. I love the character. Like, I don't even care about that.
He should apologize. I mean, I love J-Mo. I'm a huge J-Mo guy, and I have no problem with him going forward. But that was a costly penalty.
Yeah, no, it was costly.
That was a killer on that drive there.
Yeah.
Could have had some points. Alas.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. But, I mean, really cool. I think it was on the reverse where he leaped over the safety.
Oh yeah,
I mean, just freak sick. Athlete. He's such a freak athlete, man.
Yeah,
I mean, he was running a ton of short routes in this game, which I kind of liked, actually. I like seeing that change up with him. It's just going to open really up things like later in maybe later in another game where he runs the same route with them. It's a stop and go type of thing.
This game almost felt like that
deep attempt in the game, did we? I don't even think we went deep in that game.
I don't think we did very much. Like, it felt like we were not trying to. The offensive game plan was weird in this one. It felt like, well, the run game was great, and that was clicking until the second half. Like,
right. But they seem to have great coverage against us in the game, especially in the second half, like you say, and then in the end zone. And Goff had been to throw the ball away a lot, but to his credit.
Yeah.
The old Goff, you know, in the first year, he tried to make a play and said he's just getting rid of the ball and, you know, lived to fight another down. And I really like that about him. He's playing really smart football, even when it's not there, you know, he's not forcing something.
Yeah. That's why I put his interceptions every game.
That's that like trust too. That's like that like next level that this team has reached where they're playing at such a high level that they can see that lead and know exactly what they have to do and not be fearful of protecting it. Just be smart about, you know, how to keep the game in control and not give it back to the other team. I mean, you know, the Bears made a nice fighting effort, but ultimately Jared Goff did enough. The defense did enough and the offense did enough. Everyone did enough to take home the win. And I mean, I don't know. Everyone acting like the Bears gave us some gift. I just did not feel like we were going to lose that game, like, because of how this team acts and what the Bears are too. Honestly, if they were another team, maybe I'd be a little thinking different. But this Lions team's unflappable.
A couple of things I want to mention about this game is, first of all, so when we came into the season, a lot of the questions were like, who's going to be the third wide receiver, fourth wide receiver, etc. How's our depth? Tim Patrick has answered that bell.
Oh, he's awesome.
Just remarkable. I know I think we mentioned almost once a week on this podcast, but
the Irishman is
there's a couple big plays in this one again. He just, you know, he comes up in key moments, it seems, every week when we need him. It's kind of like the Josh Reynolds, to a smaller degree, I think.
Ignore that. I think he's better than Reynolds overall, too. That's the exciting thing. But they're very similar.
He's a nice target.
They're very similar. Well,
he catches the ball on fourth down in the NFC Championship. Then Josh Reynolds.
Yeah,
but I also think he's a testament to like really like the. There, you know, as much as coaches try to be like, when you coach the players and you coach, like, there's prototypes. There's things you want to make your schemes work. And having a big, tall receiver that can, you know, do the route tree seems to be clearly important to Ben Johnson's offensive mechanisms. Like, we do so much better when we got a big dude like him or Reynolds running around with, you know, helping J-Mo and everyone else just operate Amon-Ra.
Definitely. He just seems to just have a good sense, especially in his own defense, like the Bears playing, where to go, where to be. And kind of leading to my second point is I love the one to play design on the peninsula. No, I'm kidding, not the peninsula throw. But
Sue.
I just had to say that because of UJ earlier. But no, it was a
salty.
It was kind of a sprint out right from Goff, and then Amon-Ra. I don't know.
But
basically, Amon-Ra looks like he's running a crossing route, stops, turns around, runs
a
corner route pretty much, and it was all set up perfectly. And Goff just throws him for like a 30-yard pass. I just love that. That's a type of stuff that Ben Johnson and this Lions offense comes up with every week. That's just so cool that you don't see a lot of other teams doing.
There's a phrase I keep hearing, Z. I think Brady said it. I think Romo said it. You just don't see this route in the league. Like, what? They keep saying
they tell
these
you,
about
like,
these...
don't throw across the field.
No, I'm saying, though, like, I've heard it multiple times about, like, Amon-Ra and some of these routes and the designs that they're drawing up are just so ridiculous that, like, Tom Brady and Tony Romo are saying, you just don't see this in the league. That's what, like, they're doing. It's so, like, revolutionary, basically. Remember that one? Was it against the Colts, I think, where Amon-Ra ran that, like, crazy, like, wiggly route towards the sidelines to like shake the guy and caught the toe tapper, and they're like just like Tom Brady was like, you just don't see that, like, and this one was just like that. He breaks off a crossing route, it goes to the other up, goes like, it's just, it's so crazy.
Yeah, how do you defend that's
you don't.
Well, Amon-Ra might be the best route runner he's so ever sick. Seen. I mean, he's just so unbelievable the way he can move, change directions.
Absolutely,
there's nobody like him.
Yeah.
And I mean, it helps when you have a top one offensive line in the NFL to run that type of stuff. You can let those plays develop when you have that type of protection.
And a quarterback who can execute on that fine level of precision that like him and Goff, like there's not any quarterback is just going to be able to take advantage of Amon-Ra like they do. He's so awesome. And that was like, that's what I love. Like this part of like how our bread and butter is just medium routes to Amon-Ra. Like when we're getting like 10, 11, 12, 13 yard routes from Amon-Ra, this offense is like unstoppable.
I feel like a great prognosticator sometime when I'm watching the game. I go, oh, it's time for, we need to pass Amon-Ra. Like, oh, there it is. Cause they need it right then, you know, like he's so reliable.
Absolutely.
So they need that third down. They need that one play. And he's always there. Always answers the bell. Amazing.
One other player I want to shout out. He was injured last week, but he came back this week. He can always – yes, Terrion Arnold. I think he makes a big difference, and you could tell when he is in and when he's not in. I know he has his penalties and stuff throughout the year, although we haven't seen too much of that in the last couple games, so hopefully it's getting cleaned up.
We got to have at least one of him or Carlton Davis. Like, it's just, we got to have one of them.
Yes,
like,
I think we need one of them,
At least they both can hold down that number one. And we got both of them were just ridiculous.
Yeah, I was just remembering one other play. This isn't Arnold, but the Vildor, when they had that pass interference on him. I thought that was a soft ball.
Soft.
And I think the Bears jumped. They too. They should have had the
on offense.
Honestly, the end of that game felt like script writers were trying to keep the Bears in it. They wanted the Bears to threaten at the end there.
It wasn't even remotely catchable to start with.
They underestimated Eberflus's hairbrainedness.
It was a horrible call.
You want interference? Watch Cole Kmet running his routes. He's always. He had two in this game.
Yes, he did. And he was literally running it like a basketball pick. He didn't even, it wasn't like the Alec Pierce one last year against the Colts where he had his hands up, trying to make it look like he had a pass. But either way, like these are blatant offense pass interference from Kmet in this one. So good call out there, Bob, on those plays.
Maurice Alexander was not great on punts, I guess, because they decide he's not on the team anymore.
He got released.
Okay,
so the Lions signed a few guys with all these injuries. Obviously, Maurice Alexander waived. Miles Adams, the D lineman from the Seattle practice squad, got signed. He's an interior defensive lineman, 6'2", 285. They say like it kind of plays like Pat O'Connor as well. Plays like the five technique. Does most of his impactful work at the 3-and-1 technique. So he was undrafted out of Rice University in 2020. So that's a little bit about him. I'm not sure if he's like practice squad depth in case O'Connor
more body to put on the field
hurt.
So we can
put
a D-line out there.
Quan Alexander is a really interesting one. A former Pro Bowl linebacker. We mentioned him. He was on the Denver Broncos practice squad. I don't think he got any snaps this year yet. But he's been in the league for 10 years, Pro Bowl in 2017. He started 90 games in the NFL. I think the Lions are just looking for a guy with experience at this point at that position. Some guy that knows where to go, even if he's not the most athletic guy anymore.
It's not like we can trade for him at this point. Your options are very limited. Right.
Yeah, exactly. But he was on the Saints for 2 years there in Glenn, so he has some familiarity. So it's not like he's a complete unknown to this defense. Jonah Williams, Kid J.
What he's looking for.
I was hoping you may take the lead on this one. Another D-line we signed off the Rams practice squad.
Yeah, he's a pretty solid. He's been a pretty solid pro for the Rams. Just kind of does a little bit of everything, a little bit of pass rush, a little bit of run defense, and I think he's just a good rotation guy.
All right.
Yeah.
Kid J, seal of approval.
Where did he go to school?
Yeah, he's more of a run stopper than a pass rusher, is what I've.
What are his metrics?
His metrics 6'5", 275. Plays inside and on the edge, but he only had 3 pressures in 2024. So
how old is he?
How old? I would have to look that up. Jonah Williams, looking.
Oh, not the offense.
29. All these guys are 29.
29.
Yeah.
Right.
Everyone
ready to take charge of their lives and seize the opportunity on a Super Bowl-bound Lions team. I love it.
And then the last one, of course, that the Lions assigned a practice squad today, actually, was Jamal Adams, a very familiar name, all-pro safety from the Jets.
That's the
interesting. Got traded for a ton of picks to the Jets from the Seahawks. But he's had a ton of injuries since then. He's played just 34 of 67 games in the last 4 years, that he was, able to go if he was healthy. He is not necessarily the best cover guy. He's more of a rush the passer type of linebacker safety, kind of like a iffy, if you will, kind of in that mold of just bigger. He's a pretty big guy, actually, for his. He doesn't look like a safety when you look at him. I gotta look again.
We need any kind of secondary linebacker help right now. But I like
his 6'1", 215. So he's
a strong safety build. But I like that because he's the kind of guy you could put in some nice little use his instincts. Just put him out there as a little bit of a wild card, maybe. Call it comparing him to Woodson is was it Rod Woodson on the Packers or Charles Woodson? I don't know. Woodson's a big name, so I guess that's either way. Woodson would be a compliment, but he's a stud in his own right. Is all I'm saying. With a lot of experience, that we could use him in a limited capacity to just put him out there to stir things up.
I think he's more of a help for what they want in the box, just with all the injuries at linebacker. So I'm not sure what their plans are for him. He's on the practice squad. All these guys are practice squad.
Let him rush the pass, or like you said, or sit in some zone schemes and pick the ball.
If you take a guy off a practice squad, don't you have to sign him to your roster, to your 53, man? I believe that's...
Oh, fair.
Yes, you do.
That's a great point. Yes, apologies.
UJ, astute as always.
Great call. Those guys I mentioned besides Jamal Adams, they'll be part of the roster. That's a good call. The last piece of info that was floating out there is Taylor Decker. Will he play? Won't he play? Not sure. It seems it's very unclear. They say he's improving. That's all they can go off of.
He's day to day.
Well, we got skippers,
but I think he's going to go. Good. I think they need all hands on deck for Thursday. It's a huge game. Yeah. It's a huge game against the Packers. We don't want.
Yeah, you'll hear that in our preview podcast, or is this happening here?
No. We'll talk about it in our preview podcast. But I just wanted to mention that Decker was also on the injury list.
I will say though, if you notice that the skipper has not been bad, I wouldn't call him a part of the problem where our offense stalls at any. He does not go out there and give up sacks, from what I can tell.
No, he's been He's been passable.
Been solid.
Yeah. That's when you got an elite unit, baby. One man can step in and hold it down. And Skipper's kind of a freak in his own right, isn't he?
large man. Like,
and he's got so much experience at this point. You figure he's got a good idea of what he's capable of. So I don't know. I like that they trust him there, honestly. It's kind of wild that I just assumed Sue would slide over when Decker went down. But, hey, yeah. Man, it's cool.
Skipper. Go ahead. I love when Skipper turns to God and he goes, I'll protect you, little buddy.
Does he do that?
Yeah, he does. That's
awesome. There's a reference for the young folks.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, what's the reference?
Oh, Gilligan's Island. Come on, Skipper. Gilligan,
too young. I'm hip.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, there you go. So the Lions moved to 23. I'm sorry, the Lions went 23-20, and they moved to 11-1. That's still good for first in the NFC with a one game lead over the Eagles and the Vikings.
Tied for first in the
NFC. Yeah. And Michigan beat Ohio State, so they kept that rolling. Boy. So
they did.
Go blue.
They did.
Go blue.
They started the whole flag planting thing throughout the rest of the day. We saw in college football, everybody was planting flags, throwing fists in the center of the field. But yeah, that was unbelievable. That was unbelievable.
Quality entertainment.
The Michigan even set two of their starters, two of their best players, and still won. So
I know it's hilarious watching Ryan Day's look at the end of the game.
Oh man, yeah. It's crazy. Ohio State still has a chance to win a national championship, and all their fans want him fired.
I think he gets fired.
It's kind of remarkable. Not if he wins the national championship, there's no way.
You got to beat Michigan. That's his one thing when they hire these people. You got to beat Michigan. Right?
Yeah. He did it so many years, and then he hasn't.
4 years in a row. Michigan
the seniors have never beaten Michigan.
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy. So yeah, the Lions win 11-1, Eagles, Vikings 10-2, and the Packers win on Thursday and on Thanksgiving night as well. And they move to 8-3. So if the Lions let them right back into this division and a possible shot at the one seed if they lose on Thursday. So the Lions, this is a big one. This is a big one.
Shit.
This is a big one.
Why did you have to say that? That just sounds like something Dan Campbell's going to want to do to make it hard on us. Damn. No. We're going to keep rolling here, baby.
I will say right now the Lions would have a tiebreaker with the Eagles based on conference record. But, I mean, if the Lions lose to the Packers, good. Then that might go away, that advantage. So, we'll see. But, yeah, that's everything going on right now. The Chiefs, they win another miraculous game against the Raiders. The refs help them out again, and they stay at 11-1. So the Lions are still tied with the best record in the NFL, not sole leaders. Anyways, so that is all. So we're gonna wrap it up here, we will be back later this week with a preview in a couple days, actually, after this one's released, previewing the huge Thursday night game on Prime, Amazon Prime.
Z, I have a question. Are you going to be able to watch that game at home?
In my house? Yes.
Why? Oh, so do you guys watch it together?
Oh, you mean with my wife? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I have TV.
I figured maybe you have to, like, quarantine a little bit during that one.
No, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. No, it'll be good. You know, she already is. Probably expecting a loss, so I think it's already set in for her. I mean, she's kind of getting used to it, the way the Lions have pretty much owned the Packers in recent history. So,
yeah.
Anyways, let's wrap it up here. We want to first thank our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Sorry, UJ, I was trying to do it faster, like you like it.
No, I know. I was with you, but Rud Dog did not follow your lead.
Oh, okay. Anyways.
What do you mean I didn't follow it?
I want to thank FanSided for supporting the podcast as well. If you love this podcast, please subscribe on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get a podcast. Please leave a review as well. But if you really, really like this podcast, or you just like looking at our beautiful, handsome faces, go on YouTube
Understandable.
At DTBK_Lions. DTBK. That, or you just subscribe on there so you get alerted when a new video goes up or when we go live at any point. And other than that, I think that's it. So, I mean, the last thing I want to thank, of course, is our beautiful, wonderful listeners. We hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I mean, it was the first time Lions won a Thanksgiving in 8 years, so it had to be the best Thanksgiving you've had in 8 years, is my assumption, at the very least.
Yeah, obvious.
I don't care if you got engaged on Thanksgiving in the last 8 years or got married on Thanksgiving in the last 8 years. This was the best Thanksgiving in the last 8 years because the Lions won.
Yeah,
priorities.
Right. That's right. I don't care if you like were dead and came back to life. It was probably still your best Thanksgiving. Anyways,
you came back to life on today.
Well, no, it actually been a rough day if you were dead and came back to life. I don't know if people call it the best day. Anyways, all right, let's wrap it up. On that note, thank you everybody for listening. Note. And last but not least, as always, go.
Charging team that will not yield, and when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave, rock, 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 go hard, win the game, with honor you will keep your fame, down the field and gain, a Lions victory, go!
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.